A few weeks ago, checking the lessons for this 17th Sunday of Pentecost, looking for guidance for preaching this first Sunday for me at St. Michael's, I searched for wise words to share. From Luke's gospel, maybe, about the mustard seed. The disciples plea that Jesus would increase their faith seemed a good beginning for the start of a new ministry. That idea that it only takes a small step to do great things seemed promising. Or maybe better would be a word from Paul's letter from prison to Timothy, where Paul writes to Timothy, his beloved child, encouraging him in his ministry, declaring constant love and support and prayers. Extolling Timothy's faith, Paul assures him that the grace of Christ will be with him. Wouldn't that assurance be good for a parish in transition? But then I read the psalm, the one we just heard so beautifully sung by the choir. By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion, we hung up our harps, but our captives made us sing. And our oppressors called for mirth. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, I must admit, when I read that the first time, my mind went straight to the reggae version of this psalm, which back in my teenage years I thought was a 60s freedom song. In fact, it was written in 1970. The Jimmy Cliff version was my favorite, but I think apparently Bob Marley was the most famous. But in the week since I read that and sang it in my head over and over again, I knew that here was the text for us today. We don't know exactly when this psalm was written, but 2,500, 2,600 years ago. We don't really know exactly who wrote that psalm, and it is called a community lament. You hear that in the psalm, and it's remembering the people of Israel, real events, a memory of exile and suffering after the siege and destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC, and what is known as the Babylonian captivity. Many were taken as slaves and forced to sing those songs of their religion for the entertainment and mirth of their captors, whose true purpose was to ensure that their identity and the whole people of Israel would disappear. Later on, you'll hear that Psalm 137 is also part of small group Bible study. So if you haven't signed up yet, there's still time. Yet amid that exile of the people of Israel, that forced singing, the people endured as they had done before, putting their hope in the God who gave them manna in the desert, who parted the Red Sea, who gave them a vision of a promised land, the God who more than once had made a way out of no way. And so they persisted long enough to reclaim that identity, to return home, and to sing the songs of their ancestors in their own terms, holding on to hope, no matter how strange the land or the environment. That vivid description of exile for the people of Israel long ago is one that too many throughout the ages and in our world today have also experienced. Captivity, alienation, displacement is all too often a human condition. Whether from conquerors abroad or poverty at home, violence and more, living where we've always been, perhaps, but in a new and strange land. And I would suggest our own time is no exception. We have only to pay attention to the news to know that these are strange times. No matter where you are on the political, religious, or social spectrum, our time seems increasingly valued by might makes right, by winning and dealing, by blaming and shaming, and too little time and space listening with those who disagree, too quick to turn difference into exclusion. In such a time as this, how do we remain faithful to the Lord's song? How do we remain faithful to the baptismal promise to respect the dignity of every human being, to renounce evil, to love our neighbors in this exilic time? Of course, it is happening. We read of it. People of faith and goodwill are persisting as faithful folk always have done, and they are our witnesses. It is also happening here. In this place. Not that all the answers are right, but like our ancestors, folks here at St. Michael's are singing the Lord's song in this strange land, resisting the forces that might enfold us or conquer us. For in fact, that psalm is not just a psalm of lament. It is, I believe, a psalm of resistance. And the very fact of the psalm itself that we sing today lets us know that even in the midst of the exile, we can still sing it. By resisting the temptation to join the naysayers, by not giving up hope, by refusing to be a part of divisive language, and on and on. And that's what I've seen these last, let's just say, 4 days at St. Michael's Episcopal Church. Now, you probably wouldn't call yourselves a community of resistance, but I do. What do I mean? That this is a community who refuses to demonize others, most especially when disagreeing. It's a community of solidarity, a community of joy and humor, a generous community, a peace-building community, a loving community. And I have examples. Let's see, on Tuesday, there was a staff meeting. And in addition to the practical matters like to make sure the church door is open at the right time or what new program might locate here, there are also those pastoral matters. Who haven't we seen in a while? Who needs a special prayer? How can we help one who felt excluded? That night, of course, there was the Saturday Kitchen fundraiser. Not only are you generous at raising money, just ask the leaders of that fundraising campaign about that. I also heard stories of solidarity and care with those who were standing in line on a Saturday morning for some hours. Not patronizing conversations, but real conversations. Who are you? Where have you been? We're glad you're here. There is in this place a seamless movement from openness and care beyond yourselves and care for those within. There's not an outreach committee and an in-reach committee, or even if there is, there's a Venn diagram, I've already seen it, that engages both. One is hand in glove with the other. That was just Tuesday. On Wednesday, a tour of the building with Gail Robinson. Spanish school, Russian classes, Chinese to theater groups, homework help, nitwit, wits. And I'm sure there are many more that I have not named. I've even seen them mentioned on the sign outside. And then there's choir and music for three choirs on Wednesday nights. And then small Bible group study then, and the start of cooking for the Saturday kitchen, all of which goes through the weekend. And now we'll include special chaplains to ensure safety from ICE for the people who come. In the meantime, Raj, along with Edwin, Omar, and Alex, are taking care of a very large building, all in the process of construction, renewal, and renovation. And these are just the staff. It's all of you. I missed the conversation last Sunday with young adults who are emerging peacemakers. But I saw the bulletin board out there, which spoke about the ways in which each of us can understand how to become peacemakers ourselves and to speak in words and act in actions that heal and help others to prosper. Now, with all of that, you might be sort of a puffed up, self-congratulatory sort of folk. But it is exactly the opposite. That is to say, you, at least to me, have the power to say, how can I help? How can I do more? What can we do better? What's next? How do we care for others and ourselves and also the building? I could go on, but I won't. And I'm sure that you all could name many, many things as well. But it is just to say that I look forward to learning more and to traveling with you for these next 6 months. Thank you for singing the Lord's song in this strange land. Maybe there is a word of assurance from Paul that is worthy. And there is faith abounds here, even larger than many, many mustard seeds. I will be grateful to share that with you and to work together for the ways in which we will sing louder and louder a voice that heals and helps for human flourishing in this place and well beyond. Amen.